Okay, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 5. Oh, 15, sorry. I had verses 32 and 33, and Proverbs 5 only goes up to 22, so I knew something was wrong. Then I looked closely at my notes and it said Proverbs 15. Okay, we're going to look today at humility. It's a great subject in the Word, and there's great examples in the Word. In verse 32, it says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord," which means the respect or to be in awe of the Lord or Jehovah, "is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So, the fear, honor, and respect and reverence of God is the instruction of wisdom. And humility is before honor. So, I'm going to read you the NIV translation of this. It says in verse 32, "He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding." Verse 33, "The fear of the Lord," which is the respect of the Lord or Jehovah, "teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor." So we see that humility comes before honor. And you're going to see that the fear of God, or having that great respect and awe for God, has a lot to do with humility. If you don't have that awe and respect for God, you're not going to be humble. So let's go to Proverbs 18, just probably a page over or something. In verse 12, it says, "Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So this is the same thing. Before honor is humility. But we see here that haughtiness, or a haughty heart, is the opposite of humility, right? It makes sense, right? It's pretty simple, pretty easy to understand. And in Proverbs 22, and verse 4, it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." Well, that's pretty cool, huh? That's a great promise. When you have humility and fear of the Lord, and those two go together, you know, then we get riches, honor, and life. I think the NIV says prosperity and honor and life. But even so, you know, God teaches us through His Word. He works in us, and He may send His ministers or messengers to instruct us, right? That's how he communicates with us. Basically, His Word is number one, and then He sends teachers. He may send the messenger, being it could be an angel, or it could be somebody He sends to give us a message. But he wants to instruct us to be meek and humble to God. We have to be receptive to His Word, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious and pretty simple. And the fear and respect of God, again, we have to be receptive to His Word, right? If we honor God, we honor His Word. If we fear God, respect God, be in awe of God, we're also in awe and respect of His Word, because they go together. Let's go to Psalm 33. I love this verse because it really tells you what the fear of the Lord is. And God, you know, pretty much always, if you look enough, he defines His terms, His words, what He means if you study the Word enough. And in verse 8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord." And then it says, "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." So to respect God, or to fear the Lord, is to be in awe of Him. You know, and when you think about God, somebody prayed, I think Beth, or somebody said, or in the manifestation, that God named all the stars. And I was thinking about that. How many gazillions of stars there are? How do you do that? So that kind of puts you in awe of him, right? You know, we saw the eclipse last week, and you know, however God did that, he does all these different things, and they're predictable. I think somebody said, you know, the time clock of the universe never loses a second. You know, it's perfect in its courses. And then people say, well, it all happened by accident. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. We are in awe of God when we understand him. In verse 9 it says, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You know, whatever God commands, whatever he says, it's going to be. You know, that's the final word on anything. Now let's go to Matthew. Jesus Christ spoke about humility in his teachings. And of course, if you read about Jesus Christ's life, he was about the most humble man that ever walked the earth. So in chapter 18 of Matthew, in verse 1, it says, at the same time came the disciples, everybody there? Matthew 18, verse 1. And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, that's a, you know, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Would, I don't know. Seems like it would be an obvious thing. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, they weren't talking about God. Obviously, God is overall. But they were talking about people that are going to be there in the context. And Jesus Christ said, well, you have to be like a little child. You have to be humble like a little child. And I thought about, you know, how little children can be. And you know, one of the things that children usually are is they're very trusting. Very, very trusting. I know when I was with my dad, when I can remember when I was a little boy, 3-4 years old, that I always felt safe with my dad. I knew that nothing could ever hurt me or harm me when I was with my dad. Well, that's the way it should be for us with God, as little children. You know, God's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. He's going to watch over us. He's going to supply what we need. He's not going to let anybody harm us. What a great God, to be humble as a child. You know, and little children, they trust and they rely on their parents and they trust in them. And it's a great example of humility. Let's go to chapter 23 of Matthew. So that's the first thing Jesus Christ had to say about humility. Or one of the things, I wouldn't say it's the first thing. Now he's talking, and he's talking to his disciples about the Pharisees. In verse 8 he says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know, be abased. You know, you're not tooting your own horn. You're not blowing your own whistle. You're not pumping yourself up in front of other people. What a great thing. let's go to 1 Peter. You know, there is such a thing as false humility. False humility is where people say, well, I'm just not good enough. And, you know, and you see that a lot in religion, the false humility. God speaks about it. We're not really going to look at it really, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with age, but he's talking to believers who are young in the Word and that they should listen to people that have been in the Word longer than them or are more mature spiritually. Ye all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, and, you know, that's really a cool thing when you think about it. It says here, we are to be subject one to another. You know, we listen to one another. You know, we're not all perfect, are we? And sometimes somebody will notice something and they'll say, you know, that wasn't very loving, or, you know, that's not godly, or, you know, maybe this is a better way to deal with something. You know, and we should be humble enough to listen, you know, if it agrees with the Word of God. And it says, be clothed with humility, you know, put it on. It talks about putting on stuff in Ephesians and Colossians having to do with the renewed mind. Here it says, put on humility. And again, it has to do with the fear of God and being receptive to the Word of God. And it says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Remember what Jesus Christ said? He that exalts himself will be abased, and he that is abased or humble will be exalted. God will exalt you. You don't have to exalt yourself. He'll exalt you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I've heard that verse thrown out there so many times, but it's in the context of being humble. You know, it's not, you know, you just don't throw everything at God and move on. You have to be humble. You have to know and trust that he is truly going to take care of it for you. It's a great thing to understand. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. I was right in the first place. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And the word mind is phronema, which means thoughts. Let the thoughts of Jesus Christ be in you. What did Jesus Christ always think? God's word. He always spoke God's word. He always thought God's word. He always did those things that pleased the Father. And remember I said he's the most humble man that ever walked the earth. So we're to do our best to be like him, to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like means you have to be humble. You have to have that great awe and respect for your heavenly Father. And you have to trust him. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And the word equal there is the word isos in Greek. You know, it's where we get an isosceles triangle where all the angles are equal. They're not the same, are they? But they're equal. And in biblical times, the oldest son was considered equal to the father in authority and in, you know, deserving of respect or whatever. He was the one that would be the heir of the Father. So here, Jesus Christ, being in the form of God or the Son of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He saw himself as a son, as the Son of God, but made himself of no reputation. You know, he didn't toot his own horn. He didn't have an ad campaign saying, here's the Christ. You know, matter of fact, many times he told people not to tell anybody who he was, right? You know, he asked Peter, he said, who do people think I am? And he said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Isaiah, some say one of the prophets. He says, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He said, don't tell anybody. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He took on the form of a servant. And his example to his apostles, remember, when he at the Last Supper, what did he do? He had them sit down and he washed their feet. The most humbling thing that a person could do in that particular society and culture. He washed his disciples' feet, and then he spoke to them and explained to them, you know, if you're going to be a leader, you have to be a servant. Which in religions, all religions really, even in Christianity, where it's not based on the Word of God, the more spiritual a person is perceived to be, the more others serve him. And in true Christianity, the more spiritual a person is, the more he will serve others. Just the opposite. So he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. You know, and that's great. He was obedient. That's another part of humility, being obedient. Now, we're not asked to die. He died for us, you know, which is a great thing. But his example of how obedient he was is our example. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, you know, and who exalted him? God. God. And when we are humble and we do what God says, God exalts us. We don't have to exalt ourselves. He exalts us. What a great thing. Let's go to Psalm 25. I thought this was a pretty cool psalm having to do with David. And he was a pretty humble guy also. Psalm 25. And we're going to go begin in verse 1. And it says, unto thee, O Lord, I do lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So here, what's David saying? I trust in you. You know, now David was considered, you know, a great warrior. He went up against Goliath, but how did he go up against Goliath? With God, you know. You know, he put his hands, his heart, his life in God's hands, and God gave him the victory. And he continued through his life. When he was being hunted by Saul, what did he do? He trusted God to protect him. And he did some pretty crazy, wild things to stay safe, but God took care of him the whole time. I mean, he really trusted God. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. See, God wants to teach us, and we just need to be receptive to his teaching. You know, whenever we need to understand something, the first thing we should do is ask God to show us, to teach us. If we need to have understanding, we need God to give us the understanding. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, he waited on God. He served God. He looked to God in everything in his life at this point. Now, you know, David did make some mistakes along the way, didn't he? But he was humbled to receive reproof. And he was humbled to receive the consequences. And he didn't blame God, did he? Remember, verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek, and the word meek there is humble, right? It's another form of humble. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You know, and I remember learning, you know, if somebody thinks they know everything, they're done with learning, aren't they? Right? If you think you got all the answers, you're not going to get any more answers because you think you know it all. To be a know-it-all is probably the worst position you can be in life. I don't care if you're the greatest expert in the world in any category. You don't know everything. You know? Just, I had a little procedure the other day with the doctor, and he puts a mark on the arm to make sure he did the right arm. He said, it's funny, when they started doing this, he said the percentage of them working on the wrong limb is still the same. It's a very, very small percentage, but it still happens. Isn't that crazy? And they don't know everything, do they? They're people. They're humans. They make mistakes. Scientists make mistakes. Anybody in any category of life will make mistakes. They don't know everything. The one that knows everything is God. And God can give us answers, and he will teach us his way. The paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Those that receive his word and keep it, hold fast to his word, he's going to help us and show us the way. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. So we realize that, but we realize that the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace of God are infinite. You know, he's always willing to forgive us. He's always willing to help us, no matter what we do. And that's humility too. You know, when we realize we've made a mistake, it's humility to say, okay, God, I made a mistake, help me. And show me how to get out of this. And he does. Verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. He that feareth the Lord, he that has that great respect, who's in awe of God. We just can never get enough of that in our lives. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. You know, whenever I get in trouble, as long as my eyes are to him, he's going to get me out of trouble. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. You know, we don't think in terms of we have all these enemies, but, you know, the devil's out there, right? And the world is crazy, and the world is full of junk. So we want God to protect us all the time. We need him all the time. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Trust in God, fearing God, of God is, you know, that's all what humility is all about. Trusting God and having great respect and awe for God, great reverence. For I, let's see, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. And he says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Well, you know, we're not Israel. We're the church of God. But we still need to have that respect, that trust, that love for God and allow him to show us and guide us and teach us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, but now he also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man. Remember it said to be clothed in humility? And to put on is that, you know, clothing yourself in the renewed mind. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know what's cool? You know, in the body of Christ, everybody's equal. Nobody's better than anybody else. You know, I have a title, but it's meaningless. When I answer the phone, I don't say, this is Reverend so-and-so. I just say, hi, this is Sid. You know, because I'm just like everybody else. I have the honor and the privilege of teaching, of ministering and helping people. I do the best I can, but I'm no better than anybody else. Not a single bit. Nobody has any, I don't have any more, you know, who knows who gets rewards for what, right? That's up to God. He exalts. He exalts. He gives the rewards. He does all that stuff for Jesus Christ, actually. But we're all the same. God loves us each equally. Nobody has a foot up on anybody else. Nobody. And that's a cool thing when you think about it. And if I do something wrong and somebody corrects me or reproves me, I need to be humble enough to receive it as well, right? Paul did. Peter did, right? They made mistakes and they got reproved and they had to receive it. So it says here, you know, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. We all have the same measure of the Spirit. We all have the same seed of Christ within us. Isn't that a great thing? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to, and it says the Lord there, but it should be God. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In Micah, I don't want you to go there, but I'm going to read it to you. In Micah, there's a verse, and, you know, Israel was all about the law. And they had all these laws, and they had all these feasts, and they had all these requirements. And in the book of Micah, God reproves Israel, saying, you know, you're all about sacrifices, and you're all about doing all this stuff. He said, but he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to have mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's really what he wanted. Isn't that cool? So that's what he wants for us, you know, to walk humbly with him. So Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how much you love us and, you know, how much you put up with us and how you just look down upon us with love and mercy and grace and just want to do the best for us. And we just thank you, Father, for the opportunity to serve you and love you
and to glorify you in our daily lives. We thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.